Good morning. It is Monday, March 25th. We still have our fifth Friday and fifth Saturday ahead of us. Today, we're talking about Slasher Honda, a mini Lambo, and AI power grid problems. I said Honda instead of Honda. It messed up my whole flow. I felt good about it.
I think you expected the word Slasher and Hyundai to be together.
Yeah.
It was Honda. You know, I get it. It'll be okay. You'll be there.
Sometimes I think about what it takes to be this enthusiastic all the time.
You know what it takes? It takes that drum beat on the intro that most of the podcast people don't ever actually get to listen to because it's our little countdown for our live. But it's like that.
Yeah. You know, we've definitely had a lot of comments on the countdowns. Like whenever we do our webinars, like a lot of times, like our partners on the webinars are like, you guys really like go hard on the music.
We go hard on countdowns.
We need it. We need it because it's Monday or it's a webinar and we need to get in the right mind space, but also kind of like really being passionate about what you do helps about that a little bit.
Yep, exactly. Hey, Paul, listen to this. I realized this. You wrote it all in the show notes. I don't know if you saw this. It's a week where there's a fifth Friday, mm-hmm. a fifth Saturday, mm-hmm. and there's 50 days left till Asodukan. Lots of fives. We're talking about today.
Oh, Clinton, yeah. Five. Strangely enough, number five is Gary Vaynerchuk's favorite number.
Whoa. And
we're going to be at the VaynerMedia headquarters tomorrow. Me, you, Al, Nathan. We're going to be at VaynerHQ. Maybe we'll run into Gary. But we are going to be interviewing Will Gadara, New York Times bestselling author of Unreasonable Hospitality. He is our keynote speaker at Asodukan. So we're going there. We're going to sit down. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to talk about hospitality in, I don't know what we're going to ask him yet, but I'm sure we'll ask about automotive.
We never know what we're going to ask him, but I can tell you this. This is one of those, like, I've kind of like daydreamt in my mind, like how the conversation is going to go. I think it's just going to be a really, really good conversation. We're not preparing anything. This is a heart of ours and it's a heart of his. And so I think we're just going to meet somewhere and just be some guys hanging out talking about what it means to do this in the auto industry and across other verticals.
Well, if we're imagining how the interview is going to go, I imagine at the end, he's like, you know what, guys? Why don't we just go to 11 Madison Park tonight?
Now that would get sideways right there.
I mean, since we're imagining things. I don't know if we noticed this. We did. At the Javits Center, just 9-minute walk away from where we're going to be at the VaynerMedia headquarters in Hudson Yards, is a little thing called the New York Auto Show going on, the J.D. Power event. So we'll probably make our way over there either before or after the interview and bring you a little bit of content from there as well. What else we got? I mean, Asodukan, presented by Reynolds and Gubagoo. If you haven't gotten your tickets or you haven't looked at the site yet and the speaker list, you have to go to asodukan.com. Look at the speaker list. We're going to have all the sessions up really, really soon, but there's some stuff up. If you go into the detailed agenda, we really want you to be there with us. It is going to be a significant event in automotive. And I think one of the most meaningful places where conversations have happened anywhere, bar none. I'm just going to put it out there. It's true.
Agreed.
It's true. I think we have, what else? Anything
else? We got a show.
Let's talk about a show. Oh, I can't. We rambled so much, though. But Wednesday, we have our More Than Cars premiere of episode 3.
I get it. We have to say that. Yeah.
Listen, this is the show where Kyle and I go across the country telling inspiring stories from real car dealerships. We spent some time at the West Her Group in Buffalo, New York. They're also in Rochester and Syracuse, but we spent time in Buffalo. There's a LinkedIn event. So if you go to Asodu on LinkedIn, there's an event there. We can see it. We're going to live stream it. We're going to be in the comments. And it is so much fun and very insightful to see how this really large auto group operates on, I feel like, a really like person-to-person level.
Absolutely.
They really do take it there.
They really do.
All right. Time for some news.
Here we go.
It's getting sporty out here now.
We had a
call of Brian Benstock last week, too. He's got a couple comments on this. He's probably going to launch at Asodukan because he's going to be a keynote. But in a move in their shift toward electric vehicles, Honda is cutting dealer profit margins in both the U.S. and Canada, triggering a significant backlash in the industry. Honda announced they will reduce dealership profit margins on new vehicles in the U.S. by 0.5%. And get this, 44% in Canada. Hit it.
What?
I mean, if you think about Canada, it is the 10-to-1 rule kind of in effect there.
I mean, honestly, like 44% and 0.5 is basically the exchange rate, right?
After taxes. The decision has basically stirred a ton of pushback amongst Honda dealers, especially in the U.S., as they describe the margin cut as inappropriate but not surprising. You know, talking about the hefty investments needed to move forward in the EV manufacturing, Canadian dealership facing the more severe cuts. Now, everyone that commented on every Canadian dealer was anonymous. So that just goes to show a little bit about the relationships there. But they called it a blatant money grab. Because you can be a little more direct when you're anonymous, I guess. It's basically going to impact dealers' bottom lines. Honda says they are working on an offset. In Canada, though, what that actually means is like they might allow dealers to charge like admin fees, which means you're going to lose money, but we'll get it from the customers. Don't worry. As dealers brace for the reduced profits, you know, franchise laws, all these conversations are in full effect right now.
This is the wild one to me. That I don't think we have really seen coming. We, you know, I remember what it was a year and a half ago. Damon Lester sends us the invoice to the first Aria that he was getting, just saying, whoa, we were not expecting MSRP and invoice to be basically the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen these shrunk margins. We've seen OEMs looking at dealers going, you've gotten all of this profit margin over the last 3 years from consumers either charging MSRP or charging over MSRP. We want a little bit of a piece of that pie, and also utilizing the quote EV shift mm-hmm. as the impetus for this change. Mm-hmm. Ooh, slippery slope.
I know. I mean, maybe we'll get Brian Benstock on the cover comment on it, but he also mentioned something. I mean, we weren't on a call about this. We were just on a call. And, you know, Brian did bring up the major cut in advertising expenses that Honda's
deploying. From the OEMs.
Yeah, even in the New York market, and just millions and millions of dollars less on advertising, which is also like compounds the challenge of trying to get people to adopt a new platform, a new vehicle with the Prologue, cutting ad expenditure, which is what you need to get the new thing out there and make it the thing. So it seems like everybody's just trying to figure out how to make this thing work.
That's it.
I'll tell you who's not trying to figure out how to make it work.
Stop. Hey.
Segway. Time.
Just straight up making it work. Forcing.
I know. BYD is launching the Seagull EV, which is being dubbed Lamborghini Mini, which features their blade batteries and offers a range of up to 252 miles on the max. The other one is like 190. But here's the deal. The vehicle's priced under $10,000, raising concerns, obviously, across American manufacturers. So Ford and GM have been adjusting their strategies toward more affordable EVs. We know Ford has the Skunk Labs going on. They're going to release a new platform. GM is planning on introducing a next-gen Chevy Bolt, not under $10,000, no. BYD's aggressive pricing and integrated manufacturing. I heard they make every single part for this vehicle except for the tires and the glass.
Wow. Yeah. Their own.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, this is a big threat. U.S. EV makers, you know, can look at losing a lot of market share if all this makes its way. Obviously, a lot of things in the way of that. But Ford CEO Jim Farley called the vehicle pretty damn good and continued, if we fail to keep up with Chinese automakers like BYD, then 20 to 30% of the revenue is at risk. As a CEO of a company that had trouble competing with the Japanese and the South Koreans, we have to fix this problem.
I mean, there's two big stories to this, to me. One that I didn't recognize is how vertical their manufacturing processes.
I didn't either until I read that.
It is literally like if you go back to what the mattress business saw with companies like Purple that like mm-hmm. created this, not like they just create and market and sell everything. The cost savings that they get out of that is insane.
Yeah.
The other story that wasn't actually in this story that I saw last week, I think Steve Greenfield posted it, was the story of BYD's entrance into the Australian market, in just a year have obtained 14% market share mm-hmm. on EVs in that market. Like when they go into a market, they do not mess around. And a 252-mile range, under $10,000 vehicle, even if taxed at 100%, still massively undercuts the U.S. market.
Get you under 20 grand. At a 100% tariff. We got some things to figure out, but I believe we can do it. Need some
Speaking power. Of things that we got to figure out. Ooh. Stop.
Segway. Time.
This is a wild story heating up, but the rapid expansion of AI data centers across the United States is triggering concerns that the national power grid may not withstand the surge in electricity demand. Essentially, AI data centers run on almost double, sometimes triple, the power of their predecessors, data centers that don't require AI. And this is being met at the same time with the necessity for more blockchain processing, which is still a thing out there in the world. So you have AI, blockchain, data centers growing at a rapid pace. States like Oregon's Portland General Electric has doubled their demand forecast for the next 5 years. And Georgia is looking crazy at a 17x increase in their industrial power.
Comprehend that.
That's nuts. Well, I mean, you look at all the manufacturing also coming to Georgia. So when you go manufacturing plus AI plus blockchain
plus, and then
you
all add in all one that area
plus EVs, as they have a massive,
I mean, that wasn't even mentioned in the article.
Yeah.
Like, and we've been talking about, can the grid handle just the transition to just EVs? That's why this, this article kind of hit me sideways. Bill Gates, at a recent conference pointed out that finding adequate power for data sources, for data centers, is at the very top of the list for constraints to AI development. So yes, all of a sudden,
it's not like actual developers or actual code. It is just the data.
Just the power.
The power to get
the power to make the it's not the graphics cards. It's not the chipset. It's none of that. It's the power. And I remember just, you know, 2-3 years ago, as blockchain and you know, Bitcoin and crypto as a whole was really ramping up, and they were saying, oh, these things are energy hogs. There's a big problem with this. Now all of a sudden it's the AI development that no one was even talking about back then. And then you overlay this narrative of EV transition onto there. Like, I don't know, man. It feels like our infrastructure is so old, we haven't seen any power demands like this in decades and decades and decades as far as increase going. Like, it puts us in kind of a vulnerable spot, I feel like.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they were talking about different type of power sources and how that comes. I mean, these merging conversations are things that, if I had to guess, your senators, House of Representatives, local representatives, state representatives that need to hear from your ADAs or from you as a dealer in particular,
great point,
are important to talk about. Like, if everybody's talking only about AI and blockchain when it comes to data centers or and power, and they're not talking about the EV conversation, then get that into the lawmakers' hands so they can understand what the necessity on the power grid is in our vertical.
I think that what you just said, I think it just builds a more and more rational case for a measured transition to more EVs on the road. And it also pushes the case for hybrids, hydrogen, other alternative
fuels. We didn't even talk about Toyota coming out with their.
Oh, no.
It's just, you know, we'll get to that later. Toyota's, we didn't want to put all the Toyota stories every single day. You know what I'm saying?
We got to give them a day break. Hey, look, it's just Monday, so we know everybody's rolling up, firing up, ready to go. Look, we hope you join us this week. More Than Cars premiere Wednesday. Go to LinkedIn, search a SoDo More Than Cars event. We hope to see you there. We'll be in New York tomorrow, though.